Let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would empower this weak servant that stands before this congregation. Lord, you know how feeble, how weak I am, not even able to stand at times. But you, Holy Spirit, can empower with your might. And I ask that you would do that just now. That you, Spirit of the living God, would speak to all of us that we might recognize the day in which we live. Lord, we pray for Kao Daniel, his entire family, and the situation that they are in. Care for them, protect them, bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a joy it is to be with you. I know so many of you personally, and when I hear that piano start playing, I know exactly who it is. And so many of you are friends of mine. And I do appreciate your asking me to come back. I think you ought to find some additional preachers who are younger than I am, though. It would be advantageous, I am sure. I feel that the message today is particularly important, considering the days in which we live. How would you like it if you were taking a nap in the afternoon, as I frequently do? I have to, can't go on without one. Age being a factor, obviously. I dream in my naps, but then once I'm awake, I can't remember what I've dreamt about. Maybe just as well. But recently, I was trying to get a nap before a particular game that I wanted to see. And I told my wife, now be sure I don't miss the game. I thought I could get a little shut-eye before the game. Well, suddenly, as I was really deep in sleep, I heard this voice, "Wake up! Wake up! It started already." That was just about like throwing a cup of cold water right in someone's face. I felt like being mean, you know, but you can't be that way to your wife. I said, "Well, thank you, dear. Thank you." Well, that's exactly what John the Baptizer was doing to the people of Israel. He was saying, "Wake up! Get out of your sleep. Recognize who is coming." Glass of cold water to all of these Jewish people. They were expecting a Messiah to come. They were fed up with being governed by Rome. And Rome governed everybody in that part of the known world at that particular time. They were expecting the Messiah to come on a white stallion with a sword in his hand, and tens of thousands of angels behind him, and slaying all of the Roman troops in Israel and all of the known world at that particular time. Guess they didn't know the Old Testament very well. It talks about Jesus being born as a baby in Bethlehem. I mean, that's prophesied in the Old Testament. I mean, what was wrong with some of these people? I guess they didn't read the Old Testament very well. Well, They weren't anticipating a prophet telling them to repent. And that's exactly what John the Baptizer was doing. Repent! Turn from your sinful ways. Come, be baptized in the Jordan River and know who I'm referring to, who is coming. Well, many thought John the Baptist was mad. He was a crazy guy. Well, I mean, after all, if you went out to hear the preacher, for instance, me this morning, and I wore clothing that weren't exactly like I'm wearing now, and you found out that my diet consisted of locusts and wild honey, wouldn't you think I was mad? Well, I suppose you would, because we don't dress that way anymore. The bright light that Israel was expecting wasn't happening. They wanted a Messiah, but here came a funny-looking man, a man that had a strange diet, and he's preaching, repent, get ready, he is coming. Oh yes, we need to hear that message today. Repent, he is indeed coming. Now, when we hear someone is coming, we get ready for them, don't we? Reminds me of a pastorate I was doing, an interim pastorate, which is about all I've done in Hawaii. However, one of them lasted 4 years, believe it or not. But I was at a little church on the upper island, and I was joining the ministers of that association. And I was listening to a Methodist minister who had two little tiny Methodist churches. Well, I knew he wasn't from the straight line Methodist denomination because they're not that well informed about preaching of the Word of God. I knew he came from the seminary in Kentucky where they train fellas in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was put way out there in the country where he had two little churches. Well, he hadn't been around very long. And so he didn't bother telling people or asking them when it would be convenient for him to come see them. He wanted to go and catch them unaware. Well, when they found out what he was doing, that he wasn't even polite enough to call and say, well, can I come and visit you at this time, or would there be a more convenient time? Well, guess what they did? They peeked out the window, saw it was the preacher. They didn't answer the door. They just did not answer the door. Well, I tried to share with him that it's more polite and congenial if you call people and ask them if you're coming. Well, he didn't think he ought to do that. And I said to myself, well, you'll learn. You'll learn. Well, I'm not much of a person to get ready for, but I learned many decades ago that it's more polite to let them know. And when you let them know, they will have a nice Bible on their coffee table, all dusted off and nice and clean, and other objects sitting around that indicate that they are that way every day. Now, I found out before I started letting them know that the Bible maybe wasn't dusted, hadn't been dusted, and so forth. You know the scheme here, don't you? Well, John the Baptizer was saying, repent! I'm not worthy to even put on his sandals, the one who is coming. Get ready. The greatest event in history is about to happen. The Messiah is coming. Get ready. Now, he obviously was talking about Jesus. You well know that God is so holy that you can't look on God and live. You might look at his backside, but that's about the extent of it. So he was talking about the Messiah who is coming. And he said, what I'm doing with water here in the Jordan River, calling you to repentance, calling you to ask God's forgiveness, is what the Spirit will do, the Holy Spirit, when he comes. I'm baptizing with water. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a promise, but there also was a little warning here. He picks up some Jewish freedom images in this particular passage from the prophets Malachi and Isaiah. These two Old Testament prophets spoke and they assured Israel that when he came, the Messiah, he would be with them and be their God. That's amazing, isn't it? That when the Messiah comes, he will be with them. He will be their God. God's Spirit would be all that they would need. And all Israel knew this. They were waiting for the Messiah. They just didn't understand exactly what was happening here. But they knew that they needed to repent. Israel needed to wake up. The Messiah is coming. And my friends, as far as I'm concerned, we need to wake up. The Messiah may be ready to reappear. We call it his second coming. It's about time that people wake up. For so long, people have had the idea, well, all we need to do really is trust Jesus, get baptized, get our name on the church roll, and then we got the fire escape out of hell. We got it. I mean, that's it. We're saved now. We don't have to do anything more. I mean, we can go to church once in a while. I mean, especially on Easter, you know, when everybody goes, we can go then. Let me tell you, there's more to this than many of us recognize. In America, we need to wake up. We have been so secularized. I got a little booklet from the folks of Our Daily Bread. I think you use that, don't you? I think I've, when I came to the hotel, time after time, I got it. Well, this is what they point out. Spiritual living in a secular culture. Our culture has been so secularized that Christians don't even know about the Holy Spirit anymore. You mention the Holy Spirit and they say, who? Who's that? Well, that shows you just what kind of an impact the culture we live in. I'm many decades older than many of you, but when I hear what is going on today, I can't believe it. I just have trouble. And many of these, they've called themselves evangelical Christians, but what they are believing now has been so impacted by the terrible culture that we live in that I shudder to think of what is coming. God is saying, wake up! Wake up! If we aren't being led by the Holy Spirit of God, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I tell you, Many people are talking about Gnosticism now. Well, isn't something that's brand new? It existed in the very early first century. Read 1 John. It's all about the Gnosticism that appeared then. It's very, very present today. And what is that? It's these people who are telling us that every person has a divine spark placed deep within them. And we just need to listen to that divine spark, and it will tell us what we need to do. Hogwash. That's exactly what that is. Hogwash. My Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is spiritual death. You know what that means? Spiritual death. We need to wake up. America needs to wake up. Our administration needs to wake up. We got big time problems. We're faced now at the chapel inside the national park with the fact that because our president sees no difference between one religion and another, that cults and anyone else can come in and use the chapel. One religion is as good as another. As a result, we have an Odinist group who now use the chapel. That's a satanic group. A satanic group. They worship a female goddess who came from the Norwegian area. And I looked at some of the pictures that they now have posted inside what has been a Christian chapel for decades. I can't tell you what is on those pictures. I asked some of the officials at KMC to come and take a look at the pictures. Terrible, hideous pictures. Male and female on, well, I won't go any further. It's not worth mentioning in a Christian organization. What do you do? The chaplains over at Schofield, they don't even know what they can preach anymore. And they called us saying they could be of no more help to us. They're just trying to figure out what they can preach as Christian chaplains today. We're living in perilous times. The Buddhists have now asked for permission to have their services in the Christian chapel. Sad, sad situation. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Tell us about two ways of life. Listen carefully. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life eternal. There are few who find it. Did you get that? One gate is broad. It leads to destruction. Another is very narrow and difficult, and few there be that find it. Luke has the same message, only he puts it in a little different framework. That's Luke 13, starting with verse 24. And he talks about the coming of our Lord, his second coming, or reappearing, if you like that language better. And there are those, when the door is closed, who will be outside crying, Lord, Lord, don't you remember me?
well, I was a member of such and such a church, and I certainly went when it was convenient. Obviously, I went on Easter, and Lord, I had my fire escape out of hell. You know that. And what will the Lord say? Depart from me. I never knew you. I think those are the most hideous words in the Bible. Depart from me. I didn't know you. But yet people who will contend that they were Christians. Now the problem I have and the question I have for you is this. There are millions of people in our world who say they're Christian, right? Millions? Sure. They're all over the place. Millions of people who claim to be Christians. All right. But yet, we find here that the narrow road that leads to life eternal is difficult, and there will be few who find that road. Now, how do you explain that? Well, it seems to me that perhaps the millions may not really be born again believers. Just claiming to be something that they may not be. But those whose lives indicate that they have been totally changed, they live for the Lord. You can tell that they're sharing Christ every day of the week. What they believe is real. Their lives have changed. What they do, what they own, what they give, everything is referenced to changed lives. Lives that are totally changed. I think these are the few. I think these are the ones that when he comes, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now let me preach a little bit my own feeling. I know that only one person knows when Jesus will return. And you know who that is too. And he hasn't revealed it to Jesus yet. It's God the Father. But you know, I think he's looking very seriously at what's going on in Syria, where the despot there, doing just what his father did, is getting women and little children and pointing a revolver right to their head and blowing them away, killing them. What's going on there is sad. Turkey's now getting involved. You heard in the news this morning that in Egypt they have elected a Muslim to be their leader. Whether that will actually transpire or not, I don't know, but that could end up in a civil war. Well, I've been to Tel Aviv a couple of times on the coast. Beautiful, big, big city. All it's going to take is one little tip on a missile, an atomic tip hitting Tel Aviv. And Tel Aviv will go, pew. Well, you and I both know that Israel also has atomic warheads. And others in the region, if they don't have, will have soon. And it won't be long, perhaps, that Father God says, son, we've shared the message to every group and people. Many have trusted, far fewer are true believers. But we've done our job. Now, why don't you appear in the twinkling of an eye, not the blinking of an eye, that is too slow. Thessalonians says he will appear in the twinkling of an eye. No second chance. No second chance. Hey, we're either followers of the Messiah, filled with His Spirit, or else maybe we're just say-so believers. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. But as far as I can tell, the Middle East, the whole Mediterranean basin is on fire. And we don't know what's coming next. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to be ready. And it's not a problem of getting ready. There are many people who need to get saved, sure. They need to, desperately. But we need to be ready, because it could well be at any moment, at any time, our Lord could return. Get ready! Wake up, America. Wake up if you don't know Jesus personally. If you haven't been born again spiritually, then you're dead in your sins. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Wake up. Wake up, America. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, oh, help us to recognize that the second coming may be at hand. And Lord, we need to be ready to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming to rescue me, to make me part of your redeemed people. Help me to have a life that indicates, through the change that's happened in my life, to be ambassadors for Jesus, doing just as He told us, as you go, or go ye into all the world and share the gospel with every creature. Lord, thank you. Help us. Oh, help us to wake up and be ready for His coming. Amen and amen.